It is morning in New York City. Snow flurries cover Central Park. Its bare trees contrast with the white snow. Vehicles, including cars, a school bus, and taxis, drive slowly on a snowy road. Pedestrians and cars slowly maneuver through a snow-filled intersection. People go up and down the stairs to the 23rd Street subway station. The title appears, 6 days, 7 nights. As a blonde woman in a red coat and a black beret makes her way up the stairs, someone bumps into her, spilling her coffee. She tosses it into a garbage can, then walks up to a newsstand and buys a paper.
Morning.
Thank you.
Hello. Hi. I'm across the street. Who? No, there's nothing wrong with the ad layouts. I checked it myself. Marjorie just must have gotten lost.
She crosses the street to a nearby building. Still on her phone, she walks through a crowded lobby toward a woman's office. A sign on the wall reads, Dazzle.
Not 7, not 6, not 5, 4. Well, that's because we changed photographers.
You must be kidding. I double-checked everything. What's wrong with the ad layouts?
What's wrong with the ad layouts, Leo? I'll tell you what's wrong. Practically everything. Because they're the wrong ad layouts.
Marjorie, I have no idea.
Now, why am I standing here looking at 30 pages of wrong ad layouts, Leo? I'll tell you why. Because someone, Leo, didn't do their job.
Later.
Okay, the copy on the cover reads, Office Love Affairs. How to get him and your raise.
Good.
Yeah?
Okay, look at me.
Models pose as a businessman and his sultry female secretary.
Right here. Great. Good, I think we got it.
Carry on. Papaya diet.
Big problem. They're talking about changing the fruit.
What kind of fruit are we talking about?
I don't know. They said kiwi or something.
Oh, I don't like
these
kiwi.
Came for you. They're from Frank.
A huge bouquet of flowers.
Oh, goodness. He is so sweet. He was in London.
Very exotic and expensive.
She reads the card.
Can't wait to see you. It's felt like an eternity. How long's he been gone?
2 days.
2 days?
Yes.
Meet me here at 7:30. Ooh, good choice. Bring doll.
Doll. He does this kind of thing all the time.
Robin holds up a hula girl doll from the bouquet. Nighttime. Inside the restaurant, Robin and Frank are led to a table.
Hula dolls. Polynesian restaurant. Now, just what are you up to?
It's all part
Thank
of the
you.
Surprise.
Thanks. Surprise?
Uh-huh.
You're not breaking up with me, are you?
No.
Okay. You sure? Because 69% of all relationships break up in restaurants.
We're not breaking up.
Okay.
In fact, I want to increase the romance in our lives.
And you do.
Uh-huh. First, close your eyes.
Now?
Close them.
Okay.
All right. Now, remember all the times you've said that we never go anywhere and we're always working and we
right.
never have any fun?
Oh, yeah.
Well, open your eyes and look where I'm taking you.
She opens her eyes to see Frank holding out a brochure. It shows pictures of a sunny beach lined with palm trees.
Oh, you're kidding.
You and me in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks? I can't.
Oh, you can.
I can?
Uh-huh. I cleared it with Marjorie.
You did? Oh, you're a sneak.
Yeah. 6 days and 7 nights on the secluded tropical island paradise of Makatea.
In the daytime, a plane flies toward Tahiti through a blanket of puffy clouds. Its landing gear deployed, the plane soars ahead as it descends towards the runway. It touches down. Frank and Robin walk through a crowded terminal.
Yeah, we arrived 15 minutes late.
Oh, is that a problem?
No, that's fine. I'll tell you what. Why don't I go find the bags and you get to go find the charter, okay?
I do.
Yeah, I'll see you
All
in 10
right.
minutes.
Okay.
Sweetie.
He gives her a kiss.
Love you.
Love you.
Frank hands Robin their tickets, and they each go in separate directions. Robin walks through the airport, looking for their connecting flight. She puts her sunglasses on and looks out to the tarmac. Outside sits a single-propeller, red and gray plane that's being serviced by two men. Robin steps out of the building and approaches them.
Excuse me.
Son of a bitch. Miserable piece of rat shit.
He turns to see Robin holding her ticket up.
Could you help me? I'm looking for Tropical Charters.
He looks her up and down and smiles.
You going to Makatea?
Yes.
Well, we'll be ready in 20 minutes.
The man is silver-haired, handsome, and middle-aged. He turns back to the propeller with his wrench. Oil leaks into a bucket.
But this isn't the plane.
What?
The plane. Where's its mommy?
Oh, Tropical's plane is laid up in Fiji. We're filling in.
You're in luck. I'm your pilot.
No, I can't go in this. It's broken.
No, it's not broken. It's being maintained. This is my plane.
Uh-huh.
This is a de Havilland Beaver. This is one of the safest, most reliable planes ever built.
Sweetie, there a problem?
Frank walks up.
Yes. He seems to think we're gonna go in this old thing.
What?
I think we could find another charter, don't you?
We'll find one. There's a boat leaves from the port. Takes 3 days.
Honey, Frank.
All right. Sweetie, I'm sure the plane is perfectly safe, and I'm sure the pilot is a trained professional.
He strips out of his coveralls.
He is the pilot.
He's down to just his shorts.
Well, if you're gone, it'll be 20, 30 minutes. Gotta get some oil.
Oil? He's gonna get some oil now?
Need help with his luggage?
No, thanks.
No, we're good.
Now, Frank and Robin sit in the plane's two rear seats wearing flotation vests.
All right. Everybody tied down? Yeah, listen, are these really necessary?
Only if we crash.
An attractive brunette in a short skirt and low-cut top flounces up.
Hi.
Everybody, this is Angelica, our flight service director.
Hello.
She squeezes in past Frank.
Thank you. Hi. Sorry.
Hello.
Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Oh. Hey, baby.
Hello. Are you guys going to Makatea?
We hope.
Oh, you love it. Are you from these days?
Yes.
I live there for a while, too. It's very fun. Hey, Queen, look what I got. Check it out.
What's that, baby?
It's a bathing suit, silly.
I thought it was an eye patch.
She models the tiny strip of fabric across her chest. The prop plane takes off. Leveling off, it flies over the ocean. Robin looks out the window at the islands below. The lush archipelago is dominated by a steep, mountainous island at its center. The plane begins its descent. The island beach of Makatea is covered in palm trees and huts that extend out into the sea. The plane descends towards its small, grassy runway. A few people stand watching as it lands and taxis across the lawn.
Welcome to Makatea.
They disembark.
Here we are. Thanks for flying Harris Freight. Frequent flyers earn bonus points. Good for valuable merchandise. Hey, you're not trying to steal my vest, are you?
Frank and Robin hand their flotation vests back to Quinn. An open-sided vehicle with a flat canopy drives the couple to their hotel, and an employee greets them in the lobby.
Miss Monroe?
Yes.
Welcome to Hanaiti.
Thank you.
I'm Philippe Sinclair, the general manager.
Hi.
Can we have the reservation for Mr. Martin, please?
The beach looks just like the picture from the brochure. A bellman takes the couple into their bungalow.
Oh, this is beautiful.
Wow. The veranda doors lead straight onto the beach.
Wow.
Opening the doors, they step out and stare at the beach and ocean beyond.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, we're never leaving.
Yes.
They hold each other.
I want this to be the most unforgettable vacation of our lives.
Gazing into each other's eyes, they kiss. At night, they walk through an outdoor restaurant where couples slow dance.
Having a good time?
Well, honey, I'm having a great time.
They walk to a secluded area.
Hey, you know what today is?
What?
It's our anniversary.
We have an anniversary?
Yeah, unofficially.
Oh.
3 years ago today, we first met.
Today?
You don't remember? We fought over a cab?
Oh, I called you a jerk.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh, great.
Yes.
That you remember.
Sorry.
Yeah, see, but that's okay. It was all part of love's odyssey.
Odyssey?
Mm-hmm.
Frank gazes into her eyes.
If I asked, would you wear something special for me tonight?
What'd you have in mind?
This.
Robin's mouth drops open when she sees he's holding out an engagement ring. She's speechless.
Will you marry me?
Gazing into his eyes, she smiles, then kisses him. The restaurant's band plays. The singer wears sunglasses, a Panama hat, and flowered shirt while playing a guitar.
The Calypsonians were all gathered together, singing such a mournful tune. I don't know if
Frank and Robin walk onto the dance floor and begin dancing.
It could be the month of May or June. Believe me, baby,
hey, I'll be back in a sec, okay?
Frank blows her a kiss as he walks off. She smiles. She sits at the bar. Quinn notices her from a few feet away and drunkenly half walks, half dances over to her. As she sits admiring her new engagement ring, he leans in close and startles her.
I thought this was a beautiful island, but with you here, it is even more beautiful.
Oh.
How long have you been on Mekatea?
Well, you're kidding, right?
No.
Well, you brought me here. Today? 5 hours ago?
So much has happened since.
He sits, but misses the chair.
Wow. There you go. Yeah.
He sits again.
So where's your co-pilot?
Oh, she's busy with the tourists.
Well, that sounds like you don't like us.
Oh, no. Never bite the hand that feeds your mouth. Whatever. Besides, you know, they're good for a laugh.
He takes a drink.
You're a big laugher, are you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. They come here looking for the magic, expecting to find romance when they can't find it any other place.
Maybe they will.
It's an island, babe. If you don't bring it here, you won't find it here.
Oh, heavy. Pilot and philosopher.
Let me buy you a drink.
Hey, I'm here with somebody. You remember him? He came in with me.
I meant both of you.
No, you didn't.
You're from New York, aren't you?
Hey, is everything okay?
Oh, hi. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, you too.
Let me buy you a drink.
Oh, that's very, Oh, but we're leaving. So.
Well, maybe some other time I'll buy you a drink. Okay, bye.
Frank and Robin leave.
Was he bothering you?
Oh, no.
Was he
just
hitting
little
on you from over there? It looked like he was hitting on you.
Maybe a little.
He was? Do you want me to do something about it?
Like what?
Hey, I don't go to the gym every day just to watch old guys shower. You know, I won't.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
The next day, a catamaran sails in the ocean. Frank and Robin are in lounge chairs on the beach.
Well done, ocean. Well done, sky.
Well done, Mai Tais.
A blonde in a bikini passes by.
Well done, silicone. Oh, my.
Hey.
Robin playfully slaps him with a magazine.
Hey, I'm getting a little toasty here.
You want me to put some cream on you, honey?
You do that for me? You cream me up?
Only for you. Where is it?
Excuse me, Miss Monroe? You have a phone call?
I do?
You could take it at the bar.
What? Who would be calling you here?
No idea. I'll be right back.
Robin walks up to the bar and picks up a phone.
Can I get two Mai Tais, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Hello?
Look, I know you're on vacation, but this is a dire emergency.
Oh, no.
The photo shoot's on, but it's an availability nightmare. Vendela and Evander Holyfield only have a mutual 17-hour window. If we don't get them now, nobody's available for 4 months, and we lose them for the May cover.
Well, there's got to be somebody closer whose life you can screw up.
That's the ironic thing, dear. There's not. Vendela's in Sydney. Evander's in Osaka. I threw Taylor on a plane this morning to Papeete.
Tahiti?
Yes. They're all coming to you. all you have to do is fly back to Tahiti, babysit the shoot, fly back out. 15 hours at the most.
Look, this is complicated. Frank proposed to me last night.
Oh, my God. This is so exciting, sweetie. I'm so happy for you.
Well, I'm glad, but the point is, what kind of message am I sending to Frank if the day after our betrothal, I'm leaving him to go on some photo shoot?
Marjorie sits back and takes her glasses off.
An excellent message.
This is the perfect opportunity to establish parameters.
Oh, God.
I read somewhere that 38.6% of all women are pressured into quitting their jobs in the first year of marriage.
Marjorie, you read that in our magazine and we made it up.
Oh, please, Robin, please. Please, please, Robin, please.
Deal.
Oh, good. Do you have a way back to Tahiti?
Oh, yeah, I can.
Robin's face falls. Now, Quinn is lying face down in bed. Straddling him, Angelica pounds his back with rubber massage mallets. Outside, a man points out Quinn's bungalow to Robin. She approaches the front door and knocks.
Don't move a muscle. Lay down. Stay.
Angelica crosses to the door.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
I'm looking for
Quinny. It's for you.
He looks up from the bed.
Hi there. Hi, I'm really sorry to interrupt you. I sort of have an emergency.
He gets up.
Emergency? What's going on?
Well, my boss called me, and she wants me to go to Tahiti tonight.
Oh, well, I'm sort of on my layover here.
Right. Would $500 cut your labor short?
Baby, you want to go to Pepe 80?
I can't. I have a show tonight. Tuesday is Tumure night.
It's Tumure night. My hands are tied. That's for later.
You know, I'm stuck. This is really important. You'd be doing me a tremendous favor. How would 700 be?
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Great.
I'll meet you at the plane and give me an hour.
Great. Thank you.
Later.
Honey, it's a known fact that 38.6% of all women are pressured into quitting their jobs the first year of marriage.
That was in your magazine. You probably made it up.
Frank sullenly eats snacks as he watches Robin pack a bag in their bungalow.
If you had to work, I would understand.
That's because you're not as romantic as I am.
Oh.
She sits in his lap.
So come with me.
No.
How come?
Because if I go with you, I'll resent the fact that I'm there. Mm-hmm. If I stay here, I'll miss you, but you'll feel guilty. I like that better.
Come on, it's only for one night, hubby.
He perks up.
Say that again?
What, hubby?
I like that. Say it.
Hubby. Yeah.
Later, Robin rides up to the windblown runway in the resort shuttle. Quinn walks up and takes her bag.
We're ready to go.
Is it safe to fly?
It is with me.
Well, you're that good, huh?
I'm the best you've ever been with.
I'm not sure I trust your equipment.
We may be old, but we're sturdy.
They approach his plane.
What's all this?
Hotel overstocks, local trinkets. I was going to fly him to Tahiti tomorrow. With your job, I got a twofer.
How handy for you.
Quinn secures a red toolbox.
Excuse me, just keep this from flying at you. Oh, you have my money?
Oh, yes.
She hands him a stack of bills.
Thank you.
It's all there.
I trust you.
An airport worker sets up a potted torchlight at one side of the runway as the plane gets into position for takeoff. Racing down the grassy strip, its borders demarcated by two lines of the potted torches, the plane lifts off. The skies above are cloudy, and the sun is close to setting. The plane flies through dark clouds and growing fog. Robin, seated in a rear seat, pulls her cardigan on.
So what kind of work do you do back there in New York?
I'm an assistant editor for a magazine called Dazzle.
Dazzle?
Yeah.
Never heard of that one.
You're not exactly the demographic we shoot for.
She hands him a copy.
This is it.
He looks at the cover.
Dazzle. Your derriere. 5 exercises to tame the beast. 10 ways to light his fire.
He hands it back.
For Pete's sake. 10 ways to light his fire. You know how a woman gets a man excited?
How?
She shows up. That's it. We're guys. We're easy. Of course, for that, you can't charge $6 an issue, can you?
Now, does that advice come with a 700, or do I need to pay extra for that?
Down the house.
Thanks.
The weather has turned very stormy. As the plane shakes and bounces, Quinn shifts his eyes disquietedly. Outside, streaks of lightning illuminate the sky. Back at the hotel restaurant, rain pours down on the thatched canopy. Frank is seated by the stage where hula dancers are performing. A waitress leans close to hear his order, then walks off. Frank watches the male hula performers dance on stage. Glancing to his right, he sees a couple kissing. His gaze shifts away from them forlornly. The shapely legs of a female dancer catch his eye. Looking closer, he sees it's Angelica in a seashell bikini and a crown of flowers. She moves her body slowly and sensually. Frank is entranced. A smile plays on his face. Smiling back at him, Angelica makes a beckoning dance move. As he stares, the waitress comes to the table, blocking his view. He moves his head to peer around her. Meanwhile, Robin looks around nervously as the plane hits turbulence.
And Island Flight Watch Beaver 0318. We are 3,500 on a heading of 110. Looking for a weather update, please, along our route of flight.
Be advised. Southwestern.
Say again.
Quinn gives up on his radio.
I'm sorry. This weather came up quicker than anybody anticipated. We're gonna have to turn back to Makateo. Just not worth the risk.
All right.
The plane begins circling back. Lightning illuminates the cloudy nighttime sky all around them. As the plane recedes inside the expanse of thick, dark clouds, a streak of lightning narrowly misses it.
A line of squalls has got us boxed in. Tighten up your seatbelt. It's gonna get bumpy.
You don't mind if I just come sit up here with you?
Robin gets into the passenger seat.
Get your seatbelt on.
The plane shakes violently as Robin straps herself in. She pulls out a bottle of pills and takes one.
What are those?
Xanax. My doctor prescribed them for situations of tension. I think this qualifies.
Give me a couple.
You just drunk.
Looking around nervously, Robin takes a second pill. Back at the restaurant, Frank is enjoying the hula dancers. He bites into a pineapple slice and bops along to the music. Angelica smiles at him as she dances seductively. As lightning strikes all around them, Robin opens up her pill bottle.
What are you taking now?
Xanax. My doctor prescribed them for situations of tension.
Give me those.
Quinn takes them from her. She looks at him powderly. A bolt of lightning hits the plane. Quinn tries the radio. It's not working.
It was more than close. That hit us. No. Shit, fried the radios.
Oh, no, that's bad, huh?
Quinn grabs the microphone.
Mayday, mayday, mayday. Fever 0318. Unable to maintain altitude. Anybody hear this?
Robin grabs a radio mic, too.
Mayday,
Mayday, mayday, mayday.
Attention, Kmart shopper! Snow shovels are on sale for $12.99.
Put that down. I'm unable to maintain altitude.
40 miles south-southeast of Makatea.
Mayday, mayday, mayday.
How many of those things did you take?
You know, I just don't know.
Look, we're in trouble here. I want you to sit back, be quiet, keep your seatbelt tight, and let me fly this thing.
She salutes him. At the hotel, Frank is moving his head in time to Angelica's dance. Quinn looks out of the cockpit window. Down below, he can make out a shape.
There's an island down there. I can see a beach. I'm gonna set us down.
Are you helping?
They begin their descent through the storm. As Quinn pumps a lever, an indicator shows the flaps moving towards their landing position. The island's coastline is below them. Waves are crashing heavily onto shore. The beach gets closer. It's illuminated by lightning only. The plane touches down in the rain. The right side of the landing gear is bent out of shape by a boulder. The plane swerves around a few times. It comes to a stop, matching the finish to Angelica's dance. Everyone applauds her, including Frank. The plane sits on the beach, resting on one side. The thunderstorm is relentless. In the morning, the storm clouds cleared. The sun shines down on the picturesque beach. Quinn sits next to the plane, reading a map. He swigs from a bottle of booze. The passenger door slowly swings open and Robin emerges, looking around disorientedly. She steps out and falls face first into the sand.
Good morning.
She rolls around.
Could you get me a cup of coffee?
Well, sure, I'll get right on it, ma'am.
Oh, God.
She slowly gets to her feet.
Where are we?
Here.
Where?
Somewhere between Makatea and Tahiti. That's the best I can do for you.
She sees the wrecked wheel.
Whoa! What happened?
I crumpled the landing gear when we hit.
Well, are you gonna fix it? I mean, can't we reattach it somehow?
Oh, sure. We'll, like, glue it back on. How's that?
Aren't you one of those guys?
What guys?
Those guys, you know, those guys with skills.
Skills?
Yeah. You send them out into the wilderness with a pocket knife and a Q-tip, and they build you a shopping mall. You can't do that?
No, I can't do that. But I can do this. Does that help?
She looks around.
I can get us out of here.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
She opens the door and reaches into her purse.
Right? Huh? Phone, huh? I'm gonna get us out of here. Pronto.
She holds it up, looking for a signal.
Come on, phone.
Later, she taps the phone glumly against her head before tossing it away. Unloading the plane, Quinn puts boxes under a palm tree. Robin sits on a trunk.
So what are we, like, shipwrecked?
How do you want it?
Excuse me?
You want it sugar-coated or right between the eyes?
You pick.
Quinn sits down on a box opposite her.
We've only got one wheel, so we can't take off. Lightning fried the radio and the emergency location transmitter. Air Seal probably try a rescue, but without a beacon to hone in, it's like trying to find a flea on an elephant's ass. The only thing we've got is...
He pulls out an orange gun.
This flare gun and a single flare.
Is it too late to get it sugar-coated?
That was sugar-coated.
Quinn stands up.
Well, then what's the bad news?
The bad news is we may be here for a long time. You and me. For a long, 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 long time.
She slumps, slapping her hands to her knees resentfully.
Well, I want my $700 back.
He slowly turns back around to her.
What?
You heard me. My $700, I want it back. You said you were going to take me to Tahiti. You didn't.
She extends her palm.
Give it back. Come on.
He stares dumbfounded for a moment, then pulls out the cash and counts out one bill at a time.
One, two, three.
He rips the fourth bill in half.
I figure I got you halfway.
Halfway? Halfway?
Halfway.
Halfway? Ooh, halfway? Oh, boy, you're good. Woo! You got me halfway. That's fantastic.
She runs to the plane.
What are you doing? Hey, get away from my plane. God damn it, get out of there.
I'm going to do something.
Hey, leave that stuff alone.
You shut up.
Come on now, get out of there. What do you think you're doing? Leave my stuff alone. Hey, come on.
What's this? It's a boat.
It's a life raft.
You can use it to get off the island.
Where are you going to go? You don't even know where you are. Last thing you want to do is go bouncing around the ocean on an 8-foot blow-up boat.
Don't tell me what I want.
Give it. Hey, don't pull on that. Leave it alone. Hey.
It begins expanding, trapping her inside the plane. The raft has fully inflated itself inside the plane. Robin is buried somewhere inside it. Quinn ambles around to the other side of the plane to see her face pressed against the window.
You gonna stop acting like a lunatic?
Fuck you!
Pardon me? What'd you say?
She squeezes her hand free and raises her middle finger.
That's what I thought you said.
He trudges away. Frank is in the hotel restaurant, buttering a croissant, when a waitress walks up with a phone.
Mr. Martin? There's a telephone call for Miss Monroe.
Oh, I'll take it. Hello? This is Frank Martin. Who is... Oh, hi, Marjorie. It's Frank. No, she left yesterday. What?
Later.
Marie, it's Philippe at Makatea. Quinn flew a lady back to you last night. Can you look if the Diaviland is at the gate? No, I'll wait.
I ran into Tony. He said that Quinny didn't make Tahiti.
Hold on, Angelica. We don't know anything yet. Yes, Marie, right here.
Frank and Angelica wait anxiously while Philippe is on the phone.
Bon. Get RC Rescue, Marie. Call me back.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Meanwhile, the deflated raft lies next to the plane.
Come on. You want to drink water, you gotta haul water. Let's go.
They walk down the shoreline, clutching empty plastic jugs. Robin wears shorts and a tight white tank top. She glances back at Quinn.
What are you looking at?
Nothing.
Something.
Nothing.
Oh, don't give me that. You were ogling.
Ogling?
Yeah.
Ogling. Let me ask you something.
What?
When you go into a store to buy something like that, what do you say to the clerk? Give me that outfit so nobody will look at me.
Oh, I like people looking. Just not you.
Smiling, she gestures down the beach with one of her empty jugs. Quinn walks on ahead of her.
Makes you feel any better. You're not my type.
Oh, good. Why?
Why?
Yeah, you know, I'm making conversation. Why?
Quinn stops and counts out the reasons on his fingers.
You talk too much. You're opinionated. You're stubborn, sarcastic, and stuck up. Your ass is too narrow and your tits are too small.
He storms off. She glances down at herself before following.
Hey, you want to know why you're not my type?
Nope.
She stops and gestures exasperatedly with her plastic jugs. In Makatea, Frank and Angelica arrive at the airport.
Who
Bonjour, nous sommes prêts pour partir.
Bonjour, bonjour, parlez-vous
de... I'm American.
Oh, thank God.
Tom Marr, I'll take
Frank,
you out.
Frank, listen, so how do we find them?
Well, we're going to fly over the water and look out the window.
Whoa. That's it? What about the modern technology? Don't you have, like, satellites, lasers?
Mr. Martin,
heat-seeking
just take
kind
a seat.
Of...
Well, I'm Ricky.
Yeah, great. I'm Frank. Listen, money is no object, all right?
Yeah, just get in.
They climb inside a helicopter.
Try breathing very deeply. I found that helpful.
If they went into the water, it's only been 12 hours. It's a good chance we'll find them.
Okay.
As Ricky chomps into some fruit, Tom shoots him a dubious look. The helicopter takes off. Back on the remote island, Quinn and Robin make their way through dense ferns and trees. Quinn accidentally lets go of a branch too soon, and it hits Robin in the face.
Hey, Buona! Why don't you let me leave for a while?
Okay. This'll be interesting.
Robin takes the lead. They make their way through the forest and emerge into a small clearing.
Oh. Out there, you see? I found it.
Ahead of them is a waterfall. They walk towards it.
Come on, Quinny!
As they approach it, Quinn falls over. But Robin is too entranced by the waterfall to notice. A rainbow arcs across the base of the falls. Quinn gets to his feet.
Oh, it's beautiful.
A pig suddenly trots up.
Quinn, this is...
Frightened, Robin backs into the water.
Hey! Hold on! What are you doing?
What the hell's that?
It's a pig. What are you worried about? He's more afraid of us than we... Watch! Go on! Get up!
The pig doesn't move. Robin, now waist-deep in the water, drops the jugs. Her mouth hanging open, she glances below the surface.
Hey, Quinn?
Huh? What?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but, I'm having a bit of a problem.
As Quinn walks towards the water, the pig ambles away.
What's the problem?
Some sort of creature has just swum up my pants.
Quinn gets into the water and wades up to her.
I'm guessing a snake.
Oh.
Quinn tosses his jug and wades closer.
That's bad.
So, what do I do? I mean, I could reach down and grab it.
No, that could be risky. Might be poisonous.
Well, right. But on the other hand, if it's poisonous and will bite me, do I want to allow it to continue to swim around in my shorts?
All good questions.
Would you just give me some advice, all right? Just advice, input, anything, give it to me. I'm very open at this particular juncture, all right?
Just stand still.
Still.
Stand still.
What are you doing?
Relax.
All right.
Quinn lifts her top away from her shorts so he can peer in.
Oh God. What?
Not good.
What?
Shh. I'm trying to concentrate here.
Okay.
All right, let's see.
Quinn slowly inserts his hand into her shorts. Robin's blue eyes bulge wide. He starts to slowly root around.
Better not catch you smiling.
He pulls a snake out and throws it onto the grass. They look at each other awkwardly.
Thanks.
Well, not without skills.
They head back to land. A smile crosses his face. Later, back at the plane, Robin changes clothes. She notices Quinn gathering huge palm fronds. She regards him quizzically. Quinn hacks at the fronds with a machete. Later still, Robin sits by the plane, putting sunscreen on her legs. Quinn walks up, covered from head to toe in the fronds. He's holding a spear.
Whoa. You're going on a date?
You like it?
Why the fashion statement?
Going hunting.
Oh, for what?
He gestures with his spear. Three peacocks are hanging out just down the beach.
No, you wouldn't.
They are magnificent creatures.
And I hear they taste just like chicken.
He walks towards them. That night, a peacock roasts on a spit. Quinn rubs juice on it from a jar of maraschino cherries. Robin walks up, smiling softly as she shuts her eyes. The ocean crashes onto the shore behind them. The sky is full of stars.
Hey.
Maybe I should have a taste. You know, just in case somebody asks me someday if you ever had peacock, I can say, yes, I have.
You won't regret it.
The peacock is now cooked.
Okay. Perfect. Mm.
Quinn pulls off a leg for her.
Whoa! Ah.
She bites into it.
Oh. Oh, my God. Mm. Mm. Wow.
Her face lights up.
Chicken. Okay, chicken. Have you always been a pilot?
All my grown-up life.
Mm. Like doing what?
All kinds of flying.
Mm-hmm.
I had my own very successful business.
What happened?
I found a better way of life, that's all.
Like what?
Came out here, got a nice little house on a beautiful beach.
Mm-hmm.
Got my plane. Doing what I want to do. Got peace and quiet. Living the life every man dreams of.
Well, yeah, until they're 12.
With a smile, she looks up at Quinn and notes his earnest expression.
I'm sorry. That was out of line.
No.
I'm just cranky, you know, from being shipwrecked.
He smiles as he chews. She rolls her eyes. They raise hollowed-out coconuts that they've put straws in and drink. Quinn shakes a cocktail in one of the jugs. Later, they wash themselves off in the surf.
Look at that sky. You don't see a sky like that in New York City.
No, that's a good sky.
She stumbles dizzily.
Oh.
All right. Sorry. I'm just a little tipsy.
He helps her back to the shore.
Good night.
Smiling, she walks to the plane.
Good night.
He waves to her, then sits on one of the boxes and grabs his bottle of booze.
Suave. Really suave.
Taking a swig, he glances back and watches her shut herself inside the plane. The next day, clouds enshroud the peak of the mountain while the crashed plane remains grounded on the beach below. Quinn sleeps on a tarp in the encampment. Robin groggily opens the door and looks up. A plane is flying overhead.
Oh my God, it's a plane. Oh.
She leaps out.
A flare! We need the flare! Quinn? Get up! There's a plane!
Quinn's fast asleep, clutching the bottle of booze. She raises his t-shirt to find the flare gun tucked into his shorts. She loses her balance and falls on him, but ultimately manages to free the flare gun.
Flare!
She stands, but as she's lining up the shot, Quinn rolls over and trips her up. The shot goes wild and hits a nearby palm tree.
Hey, baby.
Quinn puts a sleepy arm around her, but she climbs free of his grip.
Oh, boy. Oh,
Quinn wakes up, clutching at his head.
Oh, no. What? Oh, nuts.
The palm tree is on fire. Quinn reaches for his flare gun, only to find it on the ground nearby.
What?
He staggers to his feet.
What the hell did you do? What the... You wasted our only goddamn flare to shoot a goddamn palm tree?
I wouldn't have shot the goddamn tree if Yen rolled into me. I was trying to signal the goddamn plane.
What goddamn plane?
That goddamn plane.
Quinn looks around for it.
That goddamn plane?
Yeah.
That's a commercial airliner. It's 5 miles high, going 600 miles an hour. They wouldn't see a nuclear explosion if they were looking for it, much less a flare.
How was I supposed to know that? If you hadn't drunken yourself into a coma, maybe you could have told me that.
You know what you've done? You know what you've done? You've taken our one good chance of being found and pissed it away.
Don't you dare blame this on me. If you were half a pilot, we wouldn't be on this island.
I am the best goddamn pilot you're ever going to meet.
Ah! I've flown with you twice. You've crashed half the time.
She walks towards the plane.
And there is nothing wrong with my tits.
Elsewhere, the search helicopter flies over the ocean. Ricky looks out of the window down at the sea. Tom also looks around for the missing plane, but there is no debris in the water below. Frank turns to Angelica.
There's so much water.
Don't worry. Wherever they are, Woody is going to take good care of your girlfriend.
What do you mean by that?
Robin and Quinn climb up a steep incline.
Come on, let's pick up the pace a little. I want to get to the top before dark.
As they walk, a fissure starts to crack open the ground behind them. The ground shakes more violently, and Quinn almost trips. They both stand still to see more cracks opening up in the ground. The ground gives way beneath Robin, and she falls through an enormous crack. Quinn falls through behind her. They slide down a dark tunnel past hanging vines, finally coming to a stop in some dirt.
I've had just about as much vacation as I can stand.
Vines and branches cover a cave entrance. Some rocks are tossed aside as Quinn emerges from it. Robin emerges, frantically swatting around herself.
Stop.
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 What?
Stop.
Quinn stares intently at her head. A scorpion crawls across it.
What?
He quickly grabs it and tosses it away. She stares after it, then turns to him. Quinn's mouth moves as if to speak.
You better find the beacon.
Quinn looks around, getting his bearings.
This way.
They start climbing the mountain again.
Yes.
It's later, and they're climbing higher and higher.
That beacon better be up there.
Look, the storm blew us southwest 40 minutes. Good chance this is Tammy Tanga.
Ah, Tammy Tanga. Well, that explains everything.
There's a radio navigation beacon on the top of Tammy Tanga. We find it, we shut it down, they come out and fix it. We're rescued.
It took them 2 years to fix the streetlight outside my apartment.
It's later still. Sweaty and dirty, they finally arrived at the summit. They look around, but all they see is dirt and some brush. They walk up to the edge of the cliff. Quinn slips his backpack off as they look at the sea below.
Wow, this is beautiful. Huh?
Quinn pulls a map from his backpack. He's looking around suspiciously.
So where's the beacon?
As Robin looks around, Quinn walks off to check the map.
Let me see. Well, it's this one, right? Tammy Tanga, the one with the funny-shaped peninsula to the north, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's north, right? Right?
Yeah.
She looks out in the direction she's been pointing to.
There's no peninsula. Who stole the peninsula?
Huh.
This...
isn't Tamatanga.
Quinn stares at the map, shaking his head.
So there is no beacon that we're going to turn off, and they're going to come and fix it and find us.
Quinn still stares in disbelief at the map.
We could be further to the south. This could be Matanui.
Matanui? And what's on Matanui?
Us.
Robin looks around, aghast. Quinn hands her the map.
What? What do I want? What are you doing?
As he walks away from her, he raises a hand. He walks to a plant-covered area and disappears into the greenery. The plants thrash back and forth. Robin watches quietly as he slowly loses steam. The plants stop moving, and he slowly emerges.
Please don't do that again.
I just want one goddamn thing to go right. Oh, God.
I know. Come on. Ever since we've been here, you've been so confident. You have all the answers.
Well, I'm the captain. That's my job. It's no good for me to go waving my arms in the air and screaming, oh shit, we're gonna die.
He puts his backpack on.
That doesn't evoke much confidence, does it?
No, that does not.
She stops him from walking away.
I need you to be my confident captain. I can't tell you how difficult this is gonna be for me if you lose it.
She's holding his arms and staring at him. He looks down and nods.
I'm all right now.
Good.
They're making their way back down the mountain. Robin looks ahead and spots something.
Quinn.
What?
She roots through his backpack.
What do you mean? Hey, come on, get out of it. What do you want?
She pulls out binoculars and looks to see.
Oh, yes. It's a boat.
Quinn takes the binoculars and looks through them. A trawler approaches the shoreline.
Looks like they're putting into that cove.
Yeah, well, how do we signal them?
Flare would be nice.
Don't start. Come on, what do we do? How do we get down there?
We go down the mountain, up the mountain, down the mountain. We get to our life raft and hope they'll still be there in the morning. Come on.
They set off back down the mountain. It's now dusk. Robin and Quinn are wading into the ocean with the inflated raft. The sea is now waist high. Quinn holds the raft still so Robin can climb into it. As the sun starts to rise, Quinn rows steadily. Robin lies back. Beneath the orange-tinged sky, Quinn continues rowing as Robin rests. In broad daylight, Robin rows as Quinn lies asleep in the raft. Robin grits her teeth as she rows. She looks exhausted. She stops rowing to drink some water from a jug. As she swigs, Quinn wakes up and looks around, checking his watch.
Come on, I'll take over.
He gets up. Later, looking rested, Robin now sits in the back of the boat.
So what's the deal with you and,
She gestures to her chest.
Angelica.
Yeah.
No deal, we're friends. She works at the hotel a couple months a year. We have some laughs. Keep it simple.
Well, has it always been simple, or has there ever been anyone complicated?
Quinn looks down.
That's a yes. Yes? How complicated? Scale from 1 to 10.
12.
12? Ah, what happened?
Well, tragically, she
died.
Oh, my God. I'm so...
No, she didn't die. Oh. Why don't you going to let me tell the story or what?
Sure. Tell it.
She fell in love with somebody else. Not just somebody else. My best friend, my partner, the guy I was in business with.
God, what did you do?
Well, I bowed out. I gave him my blessing.
Were they still together?
No. They broke up. But not before I sold them my half the business.
Uh-huh.
Came out here, got my plane, never looked back. Best thing that ever happened to me.
Robin looks through the binoculars.
There are two boats.
What? Two boats?
Two boats. Ah! Yeah, look.
Quinn takes the binoculars.
God, this is great, huh? Hello?
He sees two men holding a middle-aged man. A fourth man, their leader, pours champagne over himself.
Hello?
The leader shoots the middle-aged man.
Woo!
Sit down, we gotta get out of here.
Why? What?
Gotta get out of here.
What? Get out of here? Shit. What are you talking about?
Shit. Quinn
rows away.
Oh, my God.
Robin watches them throw the dead man overboard.
Who are they?
Pirates.
Pirates as an arg?
Smugglers, thieves. They rob boats.
Rob boats? They just killed a guy.
Kill us, too. Just for being here. Just for seeing them.
Two boats sit side by side as the pirates share the rest of the champagne. Their leader looks out to sea. He spots something and moves for a better view. In the distance, he sees the raft. He reaches for binoculars. Robin raises her binoculars to see the lead pirate staring at her through his binoculars.
Shit, he just saw me.
We got company.
Quinn rows faster. The pirates lower a motorboat into the water.
They just lowered a boat.
What kind of a boat?
A motorboat.
Shit! Oh. Shit!
Quinn rows faster. The motorboat takes off after them. Three armed men, including the leader, are on board. Quinn is rowing for his life.
Oh, God, row faster!
In the motorboat, two of the pirates hold machine guns as a third steers the ship. The motorboat slowly closes the gap between them. The pirates open fire. The water around the raft explodes with bullets. Quinn and Robin dive into the sea as the raft is shot to pieces. They swim to shore amidst a hail of gunfire. Quinn and Robin reach the shore and run up the beach. The motorboat speeds towards them. Quinn and Robin run for an arched opening in a craggy rock face. The motorboat nears the shore. The motorboat pulls up, and the pirates run out after them. Quinn and Robin make their way under the arch, racing away from the shore. The three armed pirates run up the beach behind them. The pirates pick their way through the water and rocks as Quinn and Robin make it to higher ground. Robin is struggling to keep up with Quinn.
I can't.
Quinn grabs her, and they continue running. Down below, the pirates look around for them. Quinn and Robin run down a sandy path, then see some trees ahead.
What?
Quinn motions for her to go into the trees, then takes off in a different direction. Two of the pirates run up the sandy path. Quinn hides in some brush and pulls up a branch, tripping them up. Quinn kicks one of the downed pirates and grabs him from behind. The pirate shoots blindly. Robin runs out of her hiding place to see Quinn punching a pirate. The pirate is knocked down. The second pirate is now reaching for his gun. Quinn grabs a sturdy branch and slugs him in the head with it. As the first pirate climbs to his feet, Robin beats him repeatedly in the head and back with a branch. Quinn smiles at her, until the pirate she'd beat grabs her ankle and pulls her to the ground. Quinn attacks the pirate again and tosses him to the ground. The leader appears, grabbing Robin by her hair and aiming a pistol at Quinn.
Let's not make this difficult.
The other two pirates knock Quinn to the ground. The leader aims his gun at Quinn's head.
That was a very stupid thing to do. Now I'm gonna have to kill you. Say goodbye.
We've got gold.
Quinn looks up at her quizzically. She stares at him, then turns to the leader and attempts a smile.
Up.
The two pirates pull Quinn to his feet.
Gold. Gold.
Yeah, we've got gold. I'm a jewelry designer. I design jewelry with gold. And precious stones.
Precious stones, like...
I have sold to all the finest stores, and we've got display cases on the boat, because we're expanding the business in the Far East, but that's my husband's end of the business.
Because I'm in marketing.
Wiz! You're a wiz!
As the pirates talk, Quinn and Robin exchange a meaningful look, a gun pointed at his head.
Take us to the boat.
They walk through the mountain trees. To one side of them is a steep incline. Quinn motions to it with his eyes. Robin looks uncertain. As they brush aside some branches, Quinn and Robin dive for the incline and roll down. The pirates fire at them. They dive out of sight, then pick themselves up and run away. The pirates run after them. Robin and Quinn run down a hill covered in brush, then make a sharp left. Seconds later, the pirates appear in close pursuit. Robin and Quinn run up a rocky outcropping. They're hundreds of feet above the sea, which sprawls out below them. They run up to the ledge. Far below, a huge wave crashes into the bottom of the mountain.
Oh my God, now what?
We go on three. One, two.
I can't! You go! Save yourself!
Quinn grabs her head and kisses her passionately.
I'm sorry.
You're kissing me?
No. This.
As a pirate runs up, Quinn throws her over the ledge. He jumps after her, and they fall into the ocean below. Watching from above, the lead pirate lowers his gun. The pirates race to the edge of the cliff. They look down into the ocean, but don't see anyone.
Damn! Damn!
Angrily, they turn back around. The hotel bartender brings two new drinks to Frank and Angelica.
You know how some people say you don't know what you had until you lose it? It's a load of crap. I knew what I had.
The bartender removes their finished drinks.
God, I loved her. Love her. Love her.
Not to insult you, but I don't think men know what love is.
I do.
Well, guys, they tell me they love me all the time.
Well, I'm sure at least some of them mean it.
No, they don't.
Back on the island, waves hurl themselves at the shore. Quinn and Robin emerge from the sea. They're holding on to each other. Exhausted, they walk up to the beach. Robin collapses onto the beach, but Quinn pulls her up, and they keep walking out of the surf. They collapse again by some rocks, but this time don't get up. Robin lies on her back, and Quinn crawls on top of her, leaning down to kiss her passionately. They pull apart briefly before returning to their kiss, Robin's hand cradling the back of Quinn's head. She wraps her arm around him. Robin touches Quinn's face. Quinn's hand is wrapped up in her hair, but then he notices her engagement ring, and they both slowly pull away from each other. They slowly climb to their feet. It's later. Robin and Quinn are jogging through some trees.
Do you think they gave up?
I don't know. We shouldn't go back to the camp. The plane's too easy to spot.
I am so scared.
Makes you feel any better. I'm a little scared myself.
No. No, that does not make me feel better.
I thought that's what women wanted.
What?
Men who weren't afraid to cry. They were in touch with their feminine side.
Well, not when they're being chased by pirates. They're like mean and armed.
They stop. He touches her face, but then pulls away. She looks down sadly, but takes his hand and follows him. It's later. The sun is starting to drop. They get to a clearing and look up to find an old warplane stuck in a tree. Quinn points to it.
Whoa. This is not a good island for airplanes.
It's a Japanese World War II float plane. It's been up there for 50 years.
The plane is covered in vines.
Jesus. You don't think there's any way that you could...
This looks like a safe place to spend the night. I'm gonna see if there's anything I can use up there.
Quinn is at the base of the tree. He looks up at the old plane. The moon peers through the clouds. Frank and Angelica walk to her bungalow.
Hi.
Hey.
This is me here.
As she walks up the steps, Frank checks his watch.
Whew. We're gonna meet them at 6 a.m. They're gonna widen the search.
I may be too drunk to wake up at 6 a.m.
I know how...
She goes into the bathroom. He stands at the main doorway.
Are you sure you're okay? You're fine?
She emerges from the bathroom.
I'm just going to take a shower and get into bed.
She takes her shirt off, leaving her bra on.
Are you okay?
I'm good. Yeah.
I mean, do you want to stay here tonight?
Stay?
Yeah, with me. I mean, you probably think I'm being slutty or something, but I'm feeling bad and you're feeling bad and I'd really like for you to stay.
I just don't...
She kicks her skirt off.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah?
No, I can't. I mean, I'm still clinging to hope. And if we...
She removes her bra.
Holy... No.
No.
She covers herself with her arms.
No, I...
Are you sure?
She sits on the bed.
Yeah. No, I see him leaving the room.
He slowly heads out through the door. On the island, Quinn and Robin sit side by side, eating roasted breadfruit.
Breadfruit.
Not bread.
It's not fruit.
They continue eating, a small fire burning before them. Quinn looks up from his breadfruit. His face is pensive.
I want to kiss you.
She turns to him, but says nothing. He stares at her meaningfully.
I really liked kissing you.
I liked kissing you.
A smile plays on her lips as she stares into Quinn's eyes.
But if I start, I'm not going to be able to stop.
They continue to stare at each other.
Sounds good.
Doesn't it? I can't.
She tries to look away, but keeps returning his gaze. Quinn finally turns away and looks off into the distance. He nods slowly. He turns back to her and smiles.
We should get some sleep.
She looks away, nodding quietly. Quinn stares at her.
Come here.
He puts an arm around her and draws her close. Smiling, she rests her head against his shoulder and puts a hand on his chest.
This feels good. And safe. Feels good and safe.
She closes her eyes. Quinn looks pensive, then turns his gaze to the Japanese warplane. He eyes the old aircraft, plants hanging past its rusted pontoons. He's in deep thought, glancing there and back to the plane. It's the next morning. Robin is fast asleep. Quinn isn't by her side. One of the Japanese plane's pontoons suddenly falls to the ground. Robin gets to her feet and walks over to it. Quinn sits in the tree holding a hacksaw.
Good morning.
What are you doing?
Got a plan.
Good. Anything I can do to help?
Yeah.
Yeah, just a sec, Glenn.
Back on Makatea, the manager knocks on Angelica's door. She opens it up, wearing a small silk robe.
What is it? What's wrong?
Angelica, the helicopter's going up in 20 minutes. If you're going, vite, huh?
Jeez, I didn't realize it was... Okay, thank you, Philip. Tell them I'm on my way, okay?
Turning to her bed, she bangs at something hidden in the sheets.
Metele, pibe, vamos. The helicopter's going up in 20 minutes.
Oh, God, what did I do?
Frank's in bed.
And how many times did I do it?
Are you okay?
No, this was wrong. This was all wrong.
Excuse me. How could you say that?
No, I mean, everything you did was very right. But what I did was wrong. This is wrong.
She sits next to him.
No. It's just we're going through a terrible ordeal. It's like when after a funeral,
yeah?
Everybody has sex.
Not everybody.
No?
No.
Back on the island is a lush river. Quinn and Robin row into view, sitting atop the two pontoons that have been strapped together. It's a little later. Quinn is now wading through the water, hauling the pontoons with some rope. Robin climbs off and helps guide the pontoons as she wades through the thigh-high water. A peaceful smile plays out on her face.
What?
They're wading side by side. She keeps smiling at him.
Nothing.
You know that woman I was telling you about?
A heartbreaker?
She was my wife.
Oh.
12 years.
You have any kids?
No, we didn't have any kids, thank God. I always wanted kids. Bunches of them.
Really? There's still time. Oh, come on. How old are you?
Well, what if... How old do you think I am?
Let me think.
Yes.
45?
He points upwards.
48?
He points upwards again.
50. 50?
Smiling, he whispers something in her ear.
You still look good.
I still am good.
They've reached some rapids. Quinn unties the harnesses holding the pontoons together.
Let's get these apart. We gotta take them down one by one.
You first.
Quinn grabs the harness to one and begins angling it down so it can slip down the first of the rapids.
Careful!
Quinn tries to maneuver the first pontoon into position. The pontoon is heavy and unwieldy, the water rough. Robin holds onto the other pontoon, watching nervously. Quinn slips in the rushing water, and his pontoon slides into him, then begins tumbling. He tries to steady it, but can't find traction in the water and starts sliding. The harness he's been using accidentally wraps around his neck. The pontoon drags him down a small waterfall. Robin looks aghast. Suddenly, he surfaces, gasping for air.
You all right?
I'm fine.
He fights to stay afloat.
Okay, your turn.
Ooh.
Back at the resort, Frank and Angelica sit at a table. She's eating breakfast. He's staring off into the distance.
Mm-mm.
How can I eat? I'm scum. I'm garbage. This experience has tested me and has revealed no character whatsoever.
Stop beating yourself up. You're a guy. You can't help it.
Philippe walks up to them.
Mr. Martin, forgive me. I just heard they decided to call off the search. I'm sorry.
But that's it?
The hotel manager nods and shares a look with Angelica. Frank winces. Back on the island, Quinn and Robin are on the shore, pulling the pontoons to the sea. They struggle with the weight, but manage to push the pontoons into the water. A little later, they chop down a tree by the shore. Then Robin begins hacking its branches off. Quinn chops at the trunk of another tree. Robin hacks off more branches. Quinn emerges from the brush, carrying a tree trunk over his shoulder. Robin wraps a rope around her arm. Quinn scales a palm tree. Robin attaches the rope to one of the wings of Quinn's plane. Quinn appears near her and ties some logs together. Quinn throws some rope around a pole with a Y-shaped top. Robin takes a side of it and ties it to the rope that she attached to one of the wings. Quinn ties a knot in the other end of the rope as Robin tugs on her end to secure it. Quinn has tied his rope to the base of a tree and uses a ratchet to tighten it. As he does, the plane slowly rights itself up. They're now both sawing through thick bamboo. Robin saws through her bamboo quicker than Quinn does. He looks up at her, seemingly frustrated. Robin is onto her next bamboo pole and saws tenaciously at it. She looks up at him and smiles. She carries a stack of bamboo poles to the plane. Quinn stands near the plane's wheel, digging the sand away from it. Robin swigs from a water jug. Quinn brushes the dirt and sand from her back. He takes the jug from her and drinks. He then wipes his face. A little later, Robin pushes one of the pontoons from the sea towards the plane. Quinn has the pontoon's harness around his shoulders and neck. He pulls it up the shore.
Keep coming.
They keep maneuvering the pontoon.
Push.
They slide the pontoon along a trench on the left side of the plane, then stop to catch their breath. It's a little later. Quinn and Robin tighten some straps around the bamboo poles. Quinn then hacks off some excess rope with a machete. Quinn drives a bamboo pole into the sand with a chunk of wood. Robin now stands at the base of the tree. She unties the rope Quinn had put there, and the plane's landing gear lowers onto the pontoon. Now, the plane sits on both pontoons. They pass the tied-up bamboo poles underneath the plane to each other. Quinn chops a hole in the side of the plane with a pickaxe, while Robin uses the ratchet to tighten the ropes to its side. Now secure to the two pontoons, the plane sits upright in the sand. Quinn climbs up to the tail wing to untie it from two crossed poles overhead. They look up in shock. There's an explosion in the trees behind them.
Oh, shit.
Look!
Robin turns to see. The trawler is coming around the cove. On board, the pirates are loading missiles into a launcher. The leader looks through his binoculars to see the plane and the smoke coming from the explosion behind it. Quinn hacks quickly at the rope holding a pole, and they move it out of the way. The pirates fire another missile. It explodes feet away from the plane.
Get out of here!
Quinn pushes her towards the plane. The pirates load another missile.
Too far back to the right.
The pirates launch the missile. It explodes near Quinn as he reaches for a bag. He's knocked to the ground. Robin opens the door and looks around for him. He lies face down in the sand. She runs to him.
Are you okay?
She rolls him over and sees blood on his chest.
Okay.
She pulls him to his feet, but he's too weak to stand. The lead pirate watches through binoculars.
Come on!
Quinn pulls himself into the cockpit.
I'm in! Get in the plane, hurry!
Robin races around to the other side while Quinn begins pulling on the plane's oil pump. Robin climbs on board. The pirates load a missile.
Hurry!
The plane's propeller starts turning. the blade turns faster and faster until it's spinning. The plane begins to move.
Fire!
They fire another missile. As the plane begins moving into the water, the ground where they'd been sitting explodes. The pirate leader mans the missile launcher. The plane is now picking up speed and cruising along the sea. The plane is headed directly for the trawler. The pirate leader aims the missile launcher at it. He fires, but the missile lands just to the left of the plane. The pirates line up another missile.
We're gonna hit him.
The plane is heading directly for the trawler.
We're gonna hit him.
Give me a hand. Pull. Pull.
They both pull their steering wheels. With the plane almost upon them, the pirates line up another missile. At the last second, the plane takes off and flies over the ship. The pirates raise their launcher into the air and fire. It misses the plane and then comes straight back down. The pirates dive off the ship seconds before it explodes. The plane flies off safely. On board, Quinn's shirt is soaked in blood. Robin has her arm around him.
Come on,
come on.
Stay with me here. Stay with me, you're doing great.
Come on.
Look, I should tell you a few things about airplanes.
Why is that?
Because I may not be conscious when it comes time to land this thing.
Oh, shit.
Take the controls. I want you to get a feel for the yoke.
You're serious, aren't you?
He stares at her.
Okay, small... Hang on. Small corrections.
Sorry.
Small corrections. Just look at the horizon. When we get there... You're gonna line up about 100 feet out from the beach.
She takes the wheel. Back on Makatea's shore, a Tahitian chaplain blows into a conch shell. People are gathered around him. Frank and Angelica place an open lay in the sea. They're each wearing leis. The chaplain prays to the crowd as Frank and Angelica walk up to him. Philippe steps forward.
We are here today to honor two fine people, Miss Robin Munro and an old friend.
Frank drops to his knees.
Father, please forgive me, for I've sinned. I've been bad, very bad.
Flying low, Quinn's plane approaches Makatea. A very nervous Robin is at the controls. Quinn is unconscious.
Oh, God. Quinn? Quinn, don't make me do this alone. Please, Quinn, don't make me do this alone. Shit.
Quinn remains unconscious. The plane continues on its path. On the beach, Angelica comforts Frank, who's still on his knees. She turns around, alerted by the noise of a plane. Looking shocked, she takes a few steps towards the sea. The plane appears from behind some trees and flies towards them. Frank looks up to see the plane approaching. Robin sees the beach ahead of her.
All right. Line up with the beach. Throttle to 65 knots. The hell's a knot?
It's Quinny! Look!
Frank raises his hands to the sky.
Thank you, God!
Flaps. Flaps, flaps.
Robin pumps the wing flaps.
No slightly elevated for landing. Here we go.
Quinn is still unconscious. The plane begins its descent. It touches down, then bounces up slightly. Water splashes everywhere, covering the windscreen. The plane lands on the water, but careens towards the shore, dipping from side to side. The force of the impact sends both Robin and Quinn forward, banging their heads into their steering wheels. The plane comes to a rest, with half of it listing badly into the ocean. Frank looks on in shock.
I'm coming, sweetie!
The plane has come to rest about 20 feet from the shore. Frank runs into the ocean, followed by some of the other mourners. Inside the cockpit, Robin wakes up and shakes Quinn.
Quinn! Quinn!
Quinn! Quinn opens his eyes and looks around.
We did it.
Drenched in sweat, Quinn smiles and looks at her in disbelief. Even though she has a gash on her forehead, she smiles back.
Robin! Sweetie, help!
Frank climbs onto a wing.
Robin! Oh, my God, you're alive! Oh, you're hurt! You're hurt!
No, I'm fine. He needs a doctor. Get him a doctor!
We need a doctor!
Quinn appears distressed as Frank opens the passenger door and pulls Robin out.
Come on, sweetie.
Can you move your leg?
Angelica appears by Quinn's door. Quinn unlocks his seatbelt and slowly starts to climb out. Frank carries Robin back to the shore. Philippe and Angelica help Quinn. It's a little later. Robin is in her bungalow, looking in the mirror at the cut on her forehead.
We brought the tea.
Frank pours tea. Oh,
great.
You want some honey, sweetie?
Sure.
The guy said the hotel's offered us a month's free stay anytime we want.
Oh, I'm probably afraid I'm gonna sue them.
She walks up to him.
How are you feeling? Are you all right?
Oh, yeah, I'm just, you know, tired.
Wearing a bathrobe and a towel on her head, Robin gets onto the couch. Frank gives her a cup of tea.
Here we go. Oh, sorry.
Are you okay?
Frank gazes at her.
Yeah, I didn't get much sleep.
Frank, come here. Sit down.
He sits down next to her, looking guilty.
It was terrible. I mean, I think deep down, I never expected to see you again. You know, I was lost. We're just people, you know? You know, Robin, we're not perfect. I mean, under that kind of pressure, I mean, people do things, you know? I mean, you don't know, right, wrong, you're Craig, you're nuts. You know, you...
She looks into his eyes, but says nothing. Playing cards lay in and around a bedpan. Quinn lies in a hospital bed, trying to flick cards into it. His left arm is bandaged up in a sling. Unnoticed by him, the door to the ward opens, and Robin steps through. She walks up to his bed. He's about to flick another card when he sees her and stops. They smile broadly at each other.
Hi.
She sees the bedpan.
Keep him busy.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good, thanks. This is not so bad. How about you?
It's fine.
Good.
They gaze at each other.
What's the deal here?
Deal?
With us?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
She sits on the bed. He looks down. She gazes at him.
Was what happened on that island anything? Or was it just something that happens to two people when they're alone on an island together?
He finally looks up.
It was something.
Something.
Yeah.
So, now what?
She smiles nervously.
Look, I'm pretty set in my ways, and you got all kinds of possibilities. You deserve someone fresher.
Don't you think that's up to me to decide?
Let's be smart about this. You're not going to move out here and become my co-pilot. And I'm not going to go to New York and be your receptionist, so... Where does that leave us?
I don't know. I guess it leaves us nowhere.
So let's not complicate things.
Oh, I forgot you like things simple.
Right.
She looks at him, then looks down, sadly. Her eyes are moist. She stands.
Well, good luck.
Good luck to you, too.
I hope everything works out for you.
As she turns and leaves, a doctor walks up. Quinn watches her go.
So how's that shoulder today? Need something for the pain?
The doctor puts a blood pressure cuff on Quinn's right arm. Quinn leans over to see Robin, but the door is closing and she's already gone. He looks forlorn. Frank and Robin sit in the airport terminal. As passengers mill around them, they sit there silently, looking off into space. He turns to her.
Well, 14 more hours, then back to reality.
She turns to him.
Frank. I don't think we should get married.
What? How come?
Because I think it's wrong for two people to get married when something is hanging over their heads.
Oh my God, I'm sorry, Robin. I'm sorry. I was distraught, and then she took off her blouse, and it was like, oh my God, but I walked away. I did. I went back to our room. I tried to go to sleep, but I thought of you. I thought, oh, I didn't know if you were dead or what. So I went back to her bungalow, you know, and she, Robin, she answered the door with on.
Who?
Angelica.
You slept with Angelica?
Who slept? Are you kidding? Didn't you know?
How would I know?
Wait a minute, you just said there was something hanging over our... What do you mean?
Quinn and me.
Aha!
Oh, Frank, something happened. Something happened that shouldn't have happened if you and I were really...
in love.
She pulls her engagement ring off and puts it in Frank's hand. He stares at it. He looks back up at her.
Embarquement immédiat du vol numéro 38, destination Honolulu.
Passengers begin reaching for their bags and walking to the boarding gate. Frank and Robin stand and silently join the line. The ticketing agent takes Frank's ticket. Robin steps up next, but hesitates.
Madame.
After a second, she hands her ticket over and follows Frank.
Bon voyage.
She pauses again at the final door, but after a moment, walks after Frank. On the tarmac, Quinn climbs out of a helicopter, his left arm still wrapped up in the sling. He starts jogging down the tarmac, which turns into a full sprint. He runs through a line of passengers who are loading onto a plane. He runs toward a departing plane. It's taxiing away. He runs after it. He races up to an airport employee in an orange vest.
Hey! Where's the plane? Plane to New York.
Right there.
The employee stops to point out the plane that's taking off before walking away. Quinn watches the plane gather speed as it travels down the runway. Quinn watches in frustration as it takes off. He breathes heavily. Another commercial plane sits nearby on the tarmac. Quinn slowly starts to walk away. Something catches his eye, and he turns to look.
I'm sorry, I just had to get off the plane. I'm sorry, I delayed the flight.
Robin is disembarking her plane, flanked by two French security officers. Smiling, Quinn walks towards them. She walks up to two people who stand on the tarmac with her luggage. Quinn walks over to them. Robin is arguing with the security guards.
That I stay.
Robin slowly turns around and sees Quinn smiling at her. He takes the final few steps up to her.
You're here.
Bonjour, Quinn. Tu la connais?
Jean-Claude, my man, s'il vous plaît. Mon ami, merci.
Quinn leads Robin a few feet away from the security officials.
Why did you get off the plane?
Why did you come here?
I decided my life is too simple.
It is?
Yeah, I want to complicate the hell out of it.
They gaze into each other's eyes, smiling. And then they're kissing, passionately. She wraps her arms around his head and neck. They finally pull apart, walk over to her baggage, and pick it up.
So, where are we going?
Your place is in New York, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't think I can wait that long. How about my place?
Oh, yeah, you got a little house on the beach.
More like a shack, actually.
A shack?
It's not much.
Uh-huh. You do have a bed, don't you?
Are you gonna be this fussy about everything?
Fade to black. Audio description by Deluxe, with funding by Disney. Voice by William Michael Redman.
We'll share the same room, yeah. Put your